Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and you can just call me Sticky Fingers. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. How you doing?
We're total and complete sellouts. That's it. Sold out. Just here. We don't even care. We don't care how despicable you are. We're sold out. Thank you very much.
We had this great conversation on the roundtable a few weeks back about what we would do if we had to make a choice, and hey, we're going to make our choice. We're going to live with it and be happy. So we'll tell you more about that here in just a little bit. We've got lots of news from BlizzCon coming up, plus a bunch of other stuff, a bunch of business news going on in the game world that's fascinating. And so we'll get to as much of that as we can. Not going to get to it all. GamingUncensored.com for those show notes. We've also been playing some games, and so we're excited to talk about that. So should be a fun show today. I'm excited about it.
I'm going to tell you, I've been playing more games in the last, 4 days than I've played in a long time. I have been playing games so much that at this point, as we start the show, my eyes are tired.
Nice.
And I feel like I need to walk away because I've been staring at the screen too long. But the thing is that when you got a good game, by the end of the show, I'll be ready to go again.
Yeah, you're going to have that jonesing going on.
That's right. And for the first time in a while, we're both playing the same game.
Yeah, it's kind of an amazing thing. It honestly doesn't happen very often, so that makes it even more fun to talk about. So, niceties aside, should we just start there?
Yeah, let's
jump
right
into some video game talk. I am excited to hear your thoughts on The Outer Worlds,
dude. First, I gotta apologize to you people because I've learned two things. One, I can stream from my house and do it successfully at 1080p with ease, which I'm really happy about. But I have to apologize about the fact that you haven't seen any, and the reason you haven't seen any is that me, with my audio degree, can't figure out why OBS will not capture game audio when I stream. It'll do fine when I record, but when I stream, it's like, nope. And there's a couple of videos up there of me just talking along like everything's all good, but there's no game audio. And the reason why I'm talking along like an idiot is because I have audio in my ears. So I don't understand. I don't get it. That's why you guys have not seen me streaming The Outer Worlds. So I got to apologize for that. Secondly, I have to apologize for the fact that I did not prep for this show. because I was playing the Outer Worlds. So, where should we start?
I mean, I think we just keep going with the Outer Worlds.
I'm asking, do you want to start any place particular?
No, I just want to hear Worlds. I want to hear your thoughts about it first, because you're farther along than I am in it at this point. And so I want to hear your thoughts. I'll happily chime in with some stuff, but I'm really excited to hear what you're thinking of it so far, because I know it's one you've been looking forward to.
Firstly, let's just be clear. It ain't Fallout. It's not. I made some grand proclamations that, you know, this is the next thing. It's not Fallout. It's something completely different. What it is interactive Firefly.
Yes.
Here's my thing, and I want to know if you feel the same way. The Outer Worlds as an IP is great, but what has me sucked in at this point is that it's like you're walking in the Firefly universe. I don't know if you feel that way, but I just keep expecting Nathan Fillion to walk out of a bar and go, "What the crap are you doing here? Have you met the engineer yet?"
Yes.
Okay, tell me that is not Kaylee.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right? Like, I feel like I'm playing Interactive Firefly.
Yeah, you texted me that earlier in the week, and I wouldn't have put it in those words. But after you said that, I've been like, oh yeah, I can kind of feel that. It definitely has that vibe.
And the other thing that scares me, the reason it has that vibe, is this is the first Fallout style game that I've ever played where stealing is mandatory. Like, yeah. I walked around for the first 10 minutes going, okay, I can't steal that. Can't steal that. Can't steal that. Don't have enough magpicks to get in that door. And after about 15 minutes, I figured out you're just supposed to steal everything. And the entire point of the game is to be a sketchy individual. There's no paragon in the Outer Worlds. That does not exist. You are a sketchy individual. You are Nathan Fillion, essentially.
Yes. Go ahead.
Go. I'm sorry.
I was
going
to say, it's a good analogy, because that's one of the things that's really struck me about it so far is, like, it does have, you know, the whole decision-making process that we were, you know, expecting with an Obsidian title and whatever else, you know, like, that was part of the package. But the way that they've pulled it off, where you're absolutely right, like, you just always feel like you're sketchy, you know, like, and it's not even that it's, like, them forcing your hand as a character, like, it's just a sketchy world. Like, it's just, you have to make decisions that are not ideal. You can't be that paragon because the world doesn't allow it. And that's kind of the brilliance of it. Like, it's fun in that way, because you and I have talked about this a lot in the past. We're just people that tend to, like, gravitate toward that, you know, hero persona, want to be the, like, always make the decision that's going to be the most beneficial for, you know, these imaginary people in a game or whatever. That's, like, dumb when you think about it out loud. But we just do that. Like, we always kind of rationalize that. And this game kind of breaks that, you know? Like, it just kind of doesn't let you, but in a much more subtle way than playing something like Grand Theft Auto does, where you have to make those decisions too, that you can't be a paragon in Grand Theft Auto. But it's just so over the top, obvious. Like, this one, it kind of lets you try, and then you kind of get disappointed in yourself because it doesn't quite work out, and you just embrace it. And in a way, like, it makes the storytelling really interesting.
Well, I'm trying to embrace it, but I still feel sketchy every time I steal something. Like, I feel bad. And what's worse is when you get caught and somebody's like, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And you have to, like, explain yourself. I think it's great. I think the world is fantastic. I just got off of Edgewater. And so I just finished that. And I'm going to tell you a story in just a second. But first, I need to know where you are.
I'm still in Edgewater, so I haven't gotten off Edgewater. I'm still running around doing all the kind of stuff around there. So.
Okay, so you've gotten through all the side quests. And, well, I mean, where are you in the main quest?
I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head. I haven't gotten back to the ship yet.
All right, so have you been to the lab?
Yes.
And met the people?
Yes, yes.
Right, so... How to explain this without ruining it? I don't know. So, I will tell you, and this is something that Duff told me, which made me totally forsake the streaming, because I spent like the first 3 hours of my Outer Worlds experience trying to get the streaming working, and I sent Duff a message. And I said, dude, this streaming is killing me. And he was like, dude, forget the video. Just play. And so I start playing. And, like, he's giving me tips as I go. And one of the tips that he gives me is there is literally stuff everywhere. Okay? There's literally guns, armor, tools, stuff everywhere. Because I got to the end of the Edgewater quest that you're on right now, right? And when you get to the end, you have to make a choice. There's two towns, and you make this choice.
Sure, sure.
And whatever you do with this choice changes either one of these two towns in a way that you can't reverse. Like, there's no going back, right?
Right.
So, when you make the choice, whichever way you choose to go, it locks down the other place. So, I actually finished this quest last night. And then I got home and I thought to myself, I would like to see what happens if you go, and I'm just going to replay that section and see what happens if I go and unlock every door and do everything that I can possibly do before I make that choice.
Sure.
And I'm going to be totally honest with you, I'm not making this up. Just by going and unlocking every door and going through every nook and cranny, I picked up a half a level of XP.
Nice.
Which you can't get after you make that choice. Because it shuts one of those two areas off to you.
Sure.
So I spent probably 2 hours this afternoon replaying that section, and for my trouble, I picked up a half a level worth of XP and so much gear that my head is spinning. Just because it's like dust, and it's literally everywhere.
That's
true. And the thing... there's a couple of things that blow my mind about this. Firstly, it has so many parallels to games that we love. It's mind-bending. Okay, there's a lot of BioShock in here. There's a lot of Fallout, obviously. there is a lot of Knights of the Old Republic. There's a lot of Borderlands. If you want to know what I'm talking about as far as BioShock, walk up to a vending machine. It's BioShock.
Yeah.
There's a lot of BioShock in this. And this is the first game I've played in a while that I've actually had to purchase goods out of a vending machine. I don't know if you've come across this, because despite everything that I just said, you run out of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're playing your character, but I'm playing mine the way that I normally play a Fallout character, which is somebody who can talk his way out of stuff, somebody who can hack, who can lockpick, do all of that. The difference in this as opposed to a Fallout is it requires you to actually consume a pick when you pick a lock. There's no way around it.
Yeah.
You have to use the stuff that you've got. And so I have been constantly scavenging for stuff. And once you get to hacking level 40, it allows you to go to a vending machine and buy restricted stock. I don't know if you've seen that, but there's actually a tab that says restricted stock. And so every vending machine I see, I am literally cleaning out the hacking tools.
Yeah.
Because you need all of them.
Yeah.
And I've never played a game like that in my life.
Yeah. I will second that. I don't even know if it's resource management as much as it's just inventory, but you do have to have stuff. I've ran into several doors. So I'm just like, oh, I just don't have picks, you know, okay, I'll come back here later kind of thing. And then you run around and you'll find them laying around or whatever. You can come back. And so I haven't gotten to a place where I wasn't able to get back yet, but I've definitely ran up to a door and was like, I can't open it. That sucks, you know? And the same way with ammo, I've ran out of ammo and I'm just not. I've actually turned into playing it. I was going to tell you this because I thought you'd get a kick out of this. I've turned into playing this like Jamie Jordan plays a Fallout game, that I'm doing melee combat all the way through. And so, especially with the mech things, I'm just running up and hack and slash until they die, you know?
Yeah.
It's still with the Marauders and stuff. I could be a little bit more tactical with some gunplay. But anytime I'm indoors so far, going through the power station or whatever, you know, with just all the mechs in there, I'm just take the sword out and go, you know, just hack things
that
down.
That plasma sword is awesome.
It's great.
I love and that plasma sword.
That at first was not how I was playing. And I even that first kind of camp of Marauders you come across after you go through Edgewater, they kind of owned me at first. I was man, I'm not that bad, you know, what am I missing here? Then I just started hacking and slashing. I'm okay, this is effective, you know. I just do that and go through the little whatever the health vapor thing is, and doing fine so far. let me ask you, because obviously one of the gameplay elements is the time dilation. I at this point, I use it a little bit, just for kind of a tactical entering combat to get a couple of shots off, but I'm not using it a ton. It just goes so quick.
Okay, so I found the key to that, because I died and died and died and died and died some more at the beginning. And I thought that it was funny how you just said that you're playing it like me. Because I'm playing this like I've not ever played a Fallout game, in the fact that I do the mechanicals melee like you're talking about. But the Marauders are too fast, and I can't move fast enough to get around them without getting shot.
Yeah.
And so my new best friend, I kid you not, you're going to laugh at this. is literally a light machine gun. And it takes flight ammo. And when I say a light machine gun, think about Quake.
Nice.
With the big, heavy, like, machine gun thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're walking, and you're like, it's so heavy that it slows you down, but it's classified as a light weapon. And it takes light ammo, which is the most flammable ammo in the game to this point.
Yeah.
And so I've learned a couple of things. One, the tactical time dilation meter does not move until you take a shot or you move. So you can hit the button and stand there and heal up, and it doesn't really move the meter. Right, the second you move or the second you shoot is when that meter starts moving. So I've gotten to the point where I get to a spot, I load up my machine gun, and I just stand there and mow people down. And when it comes to the point where I need to heal, I just heal. And obviously, when I'm mowing people down, that uses the meter. And so when I run out of the meter, I just run away. and the way that the reason the melee really doesn't work is because the AI is smart enough to surround you.
Yeah.
And so unless you're in if you're in an open area, you can't use melee. At least I haven't been able to so far.
That I've done is I set up my companion, Pavarotti, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
So she like aggroes, you know?
Right.
So that's one way I've gotten around that a little bit. I've still ran into that problem too. But yeah, that's totally fair. With marauders, especially, I kind of took the inspiration because there's the like sword marauders that just charge you. I was like, I think they're onto something. I think I'm going to try that. So, like, I run up to, like, a marauder camp, and we're just, like, running at each other with swords, and it's awesome. You know? Like, it's just fun. And so, yeah.
It was bad enough that I had to go look up a YouTube video of tips of how to use the tactical time dilation.
Yeah, because I didn't know the thing about healing. Like now, like you said that, I'm like, oh, wow, I need to try that. I didn't realize that did take time off. So
right.
That's
no,
great.
It doesn't. You can just stand there.
That's fantastic.
Now, the thing that you need to be aware of, and this is what I learned when I was watching the video about tactical time dilation, is that if you look at your inhaler, you'll notice at the beginning you've got two slots open that you can put stuff in. If you put stuff in there that is addictive, even caffeine, it will mess you up.
Yeah.
Because you're using that on a regular basis, and then that's where the fault comes in. And you take the fault, and now you're sucking on that thing all the time. You're like a 20-year-old with a vape. Like, it's bad. So you got to be careful about what you put in there. And I'm kind of actually scared of it. I don't use it a lot because I haven't figured out what's addictive and what's not.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. If you run out of whatever you're addicted to, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm a little bit scared of the inhaler.
Yeah. Have you picked up a flaw yet?
I had the option to pick one up. It offered me one because I was taking too much damage.
Yeah.
And it was like, you could take this flaw and get a perk point, but if you do, you'll be 25% more susceptible to damage. And I was like, yeah, I don't need that. Thanks.
I've decided, so I picked up just one that was like the fear of robots one. That I'm sure is because my approach to fighting the robots was just like crazy running hack and slash, and so I could see where it came from. But I decided in that moment that on this like playthrough of the game, I'm just going to take every single one it offers me. Like, I just want to see what happens if I take every single flaw it offers me based off my gameplay. And so I've got one so far, and I'm kind of excited to see like what other ones it offers me. Like, I think that is such a cool, interesting system.
See, that right there, that's the BioShock that I'm talking about.
Yes, yeah.
And when it comes up, the menu even looks like BioShock. Like, if you look at the way the text is and all of that, like, they stole it straight out of BioShock.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yes, on that point, and then we'll get to news, because we do have news we need to talk about, and we're going to come back and talk about Outer Worlds a ton over the next few months, I'm sure. But on that note, just to kind of put a bow on it for today, I just love the look of this game. I love the style, the kind of, it has the steampunk elements, so it has that kind of somewhere between Fallout and BioShock, like it definitely is in that world. But it's also so wonderfully colorful, and after playing so much Fallout, having a game that plays like Fallout that has this kind of lush, vibrant color scheme to it, I think the character models look great. I think the environment looks great. I think the gear look like it just like I don't know what it is aesthetically about this game that at first when I first saw it, like even at E3 this year, I was kind of like, I don't really see it yet. I see it now, you know, and I just like it's so refreshing. Like, I love the aesthetic of the game. I think it looks so cool.
Well, two things before we wrap up. Two things I have to talk about, because to me, it's crazy to think about, but this thing is only available on Epic and on Game Pass. I looked on Steam, and it's not going to be available until 2020, right? And I have enjoyed it so much that I am now having an internal debate on where do I buy this, because I want to buy it in a store that will allow me to mod it. Because yes. I think there's going to be a huge mod community.
Yes.
And I offhandedly said on the Facebook, I want a Vets mod just to see what that would feel like. And so I don't know where I'm going to buy it, because I don't know where the best place would be for mods. As of now, if you are playing it on Game Pass like we are, I don't know if you've noticed this, but you cannot access any of the files. You can't do anything with the saves. You can't touch any of the files that relate to the game. It's in a folder on the drive, and you click it, and it says you don't have access. So, my question is, if I buy the game from the Microsoft Store, do I then get access to those files? And will they allow me to mod later? I have the same question about the Epic Store, and I don't know the answer to either one.
Yeah.
But
they're both good questions. There are, like, I just was curious, so I pulled up Nexus Mods, and there's a bunch of mods there already for it that are all pretty just basic stuff of some tweaks here and there. So nothing huge at this point. But the fact that there's several already, that means that you can. What that looks like and where that's best from, I don't know. But they do exist.
So if somebody knows, tell us, because this is a game that I think I'm going to play through once, and then I'm going to mod the crap out of it and play it again.
Yeah.
Because I think it's that good. One more thing on tactical time dilation. Apparently, and I looked up this video about how to actually use it, and I think this would come in handy for you because you're a tactical type person. The way that you go about it is you don't go into a situation thinking, okay, I'm going to shoot this guy and I'm going to kill him. The way you do it is you're tactical about it. If you're up against a fast-moving enemy, you take out the legs and that slows them down.
Yeah.
If you want to blind a guy, you hit him in the head, and that blinds them. If you want to take out their arms, obviously you shoot the arms. And the way the guy that I saw was playing it, he would go into TTD, do what he needed to do with a particular target, and then go out of it, and then switch targets and do it all over again. So he was clicking the button, doing what he needed to do, and then getting out of it. Which,
yeah.
I think I can't personally do that because I'm not fast enough, but I think it would come in handy for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea. Now I'm going to go in and try that because that sounds great. So like I said, we'll come back to a lot of this. Again, it'll be a theme for a while. But for now, we do have other news to talk about,
including
BlizzCon, which has big stuff. And so let's jump into that really quick. And so I'm going to mention the lesser news for us and maybe the bigger news overall, just based off of who plays what games at this point. But Overwatch 2 was announced, and that seems like a big deal that we should acknowledge, but neither one of us are Overwatch people. And so, what I've read, so I don't know anything. I played a little bit of the original Overwatch, but I didn't play enough to have any opinion on this. But what I've read from other people who have played more Overwatch, at least some of the sentiment I've seen is people feeling like this is really an expansion more than a sequel. Maybe that's the case, maybe not. I would love to hear from people who did play Overwatch. I know Cabbage put a lot of time into Overwatch, and so I would love to hear his thoughts on Overwatch too. But the bigger announcement for us, because we're geeks about this this title, is the Diablo 4 announcement. And so it's official. There's a big reveal video. You can go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com, to see all these videos. And then there's a gameplay video, and there was actually gameplay, like hands-on gameplay at BlizzCon, which I thought we'd get a Diablo 4 announcement. I didn't think we were going to have gameplay coming out of BlizzCon, and so that was a pleasant surprise. And so just really quick, the game itself visually is very, very pretty. It looks very Diablo, and in fact, my interjecting some personal opinion here, it looks very Diablo 2 versus Diablo 3. Like, it just is a little grittier and darker and not as, I don't know what the right word is for it's, Diablo 3, campy.
it's Diablo 4 is nastier.
Yes.
Like, what I love about Path of Exile is that Path of Exile is nasty. It's dirty, it's dank.
Yes.
It's when you hit somebody and you have a bleeding effect and they start bleeding, there's just blood trailing everywhere. Like, that's one of the great things about Path of Exile. Diablo 4 has that.
Yeah, I would maybe to put it on kind of a spectrum of between Path of Exile and Torchlight of being the kind of current iterations of the dungeon crawler thing, where Path of Exiles is much grittier, Torchlight is much more cartoony. Like, Diablo 3 was kind of more towards that Torchlight thing. Diablo 4 is much towards that grittier thing, which again is what Diablo 2 was, and that's ultimately the gold standard for us on any dungeon crawler. And so the fact that it has that kind of feel already is a big deal. But it also apparently has that kind of play style. And so the people who have actually gotten to play it, and you can see some of this in that gameplay trailer as well, have said if you were a fan of Diablo 2 and kind of felt let down by Diablo 3, Diablo 4 is probably going to scratch that itch for you. And in fact, I heard one person kind of describe it of, if you love Diablo 2, you're going to love this. And if you love Diablo 3, you're going to love this, because it does what's best from both of those titles, but it's not going to make you feel left behind if you were a huge Diablo 2 fan and weren't into Diablo 3 as much, which is flatly the category that you and I fall into. We both played through Diablo 3, and it was a good game, and I enjoyed it, but I never went back to it. And we spent years and years and years going back to Diablo 2.
Right.
This is one I wanted to make me come back to, and it looks like it has that potential.
It, to me, the question is, because I've been playing Path of Exile all this time, and to me, what would set Diablo 4 apart from Path of Exile is Diablo 4 has those characters that we know.
Yeah.
Okay. It's got Deckard Cain. It's got who's the daughter?
Lilith.
Deckard's, I can't remember her name. Anyway,
whatever. Yeah.
It has like the big star of the trailer is Lilith. Which, like, we've heard about Lilith for years.
Right, right.
Like, for me, it's about that we know what's going on in this world. I've put 100-some-odd hours into Path of Exile, and I don't have a clue. I love those guys, and I love the fact that they voiced all of the books in the first half of the game, and then the second half, they were like, yeah, we quit. And I love you guys, but I'm not going to sit and read those. I'm just not. Not for a dungeon crawler. So, Diablo 4, if it's in this style, has that leg up on Path of Exile for us because we know the lore. And we know the people.
Yeah, I totally agree on that. And it's, I mean, honestly, it's not a game that we're ever going to be huge on the story about. But it is nice having that familiarity with it, at least. And not that Diablo stories are ever terrible. They're not. They're not RPGs that you're playing for a big, deep story experience. But it's still a world that you know the lore is important because you recognize that, and so it has all that. It's really pretty. That's kind of the first thing I thought. Like, just the visuals of it look right. You know, again, just look like what I think Diablo should look like. The bosses look huge and horrifying, and they talked about some of the gameplay about how they're intelligent and have, like, you know, a bunch of abilities to you know, counteract each one of the character classes, of which they're showing just three right now: the sorceress, the barbarian, of course, and then a druid character. And so, again, it's stuff that you're familiar with if you've played Diablo. I'm sure there'll be a couple of new character classes we haven't seen before, but I want that familiarity. I want to be able to play a barbarian in Diablo. Like, I just love it's not my
you
typical
know
character
type. What I'm doing. You know,
oh, absolutely.
That's, yeah.
It's not my typical character type in any other RPG, but my favorite character I ever created in Diablo 2 was a barbarian of many, many characters. I created, you know, dozens of characters in Diablo 2, and the one that I most fell in love with was a barbarian. And so I have that connection that once, you know, I see, oh, yeah, there's the barbarian. Oh, yeah, I know this. It just has, again, like you were alluding to there, that familiarity that just is something that I've, you know, Torchlight was a fun game. I know how much you've enjoyed Path of Exile. But those are things that those games don't have for us because we came of age playing Diablo 2. And even Diablo before that, the original Diablo game is fantastic as well. But Diablo 2 was really a formational experience for both of us in gaming. And so there's a ton of nostalgia for this. I'm perfectly aware of that. But I don't care. It looks great. And go ahead.
I was just going to mention one thing I'm really excited about is that the fact that Path of Exile is out there. And I don't know if Wizard's paying attention to it, but I feel like they had to do this because something like Path of Exile is out there. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Up until we found Path of Exile, like, there wasn't really anything out there like Diablo 2, so I couldn't really blame them for doing what they did. And then I found Path of Exile, and it's like, well, yeah, this is it. This right here. This. Do this. And so I'm probably naive, but those guys are about 10 days away from releasing yet another major, major update to Path of Exile. They do one about every 60 to 90 days. And so the reason I'm excited about this is because it looks the way we want it to look, and I think Path of Exile is keeping them honest.
Absolutely. Yeah. I believe this with all of my being. The best thing for any, you know, creative endeavor like this is competition, to make sure that they're staying honest about it. And so, yeah, the fact that Path of Exiles exists and is a big deal in this community means that Blizzard is definitely aware, and is going to be taking the best of that and trying to leverage it themselves. And that's a good thing for Diablo 4, and something that I mean, in a lot of ways, Path of Exiles, I think, is what it is, because Diablo 3 was a disappointment to so many hardcore fans of Diablo 2. And so it's fitting that a lot of ways it feels like, and again, we don't know yet, this is a long ways out, we just got the announcement, but it feels like in a lot of ways Diablo 4 is going to try to rectify some of that, in part because of Path of Exile existing, because of people not being fully engaged in Diablo 3. And so that kind of cyclical thing is actually pretty fun. And to see that come about is rewarding, and everybody gets good games out of it, which is a big deal.
And the other thing is that Path of Exile is free. Like, that's the other thing that I think means a lot. Path of Exile is a free game. And I've given them $60 worth of microtransaction, which is something I never thought I would say. I did it because it's that good.
Yeah.
And if they come out with something else that I want, I'm going to give them more money. And that, for Blizzard, I think is a huge deal, because they're going to ask me to throw down $60 for Diablo 4. If I'm going to throw down $60 for Diablo 4, it better be at least as good as Path of Exile, because Path of Exile ain't going nowhere on my machine.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, no. I'm not uninstalling that.
Yeah. No, so, that makes total sense. So, but we'll see more of Diablo, obviously, over the next long time, because I don't have a clue when it's coming out. I don't think it mentioned that anywhere in there, did it? I didn't see that.
No, I don't think it did.
It's in the future. It's not a game we're getting for a while, which is perfectly fine, because there are a lot of games we're going to get soon, so we need some space. However, a few delays have happened, and so let me make you aware of a few games that we were anticipating coming early next year that are now coming not so early next year. So we talked about this kind of crazy period of time, kind of early spring of next year. Well, two of the big games we've been talking about are no longer coming out early spring. One of them has been bumped to maybe late spring, which is The Last of Us Part Two. Just a couple months, but bumped up, to, bumped back to May. Again, I'm fine with that. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'll be here when you're ready. And so, yeah, clean it up, make it good, whatever. The official new release date for The Last of Us Part Two, and we'll see if it hits this, and if not, we'll push it back again. But the release date at this point is May 29th. And then Yubi also pushed back Watch Dogs Legion, which was supposed to come out at the same time, or right around the same time. It will now be later in 2020, as will basically everything else that Yubi has. I don't know what Yubi's doing right now, but there's some stuff going on.
They're working on Beyond Good and Evil is what they're doing.
Yeah, man, they need something. So, obviously, we talked about before that Ghost Recon was pretty disappointing. But they've had some really good games. We talked also about how great Assassin's Creed Odyssey is, and so it's been maybe a little bit up and down. But at this point, just everything they've got has been pushed back. And so Now we're still going to get Cyberpunk, and we're still going to get Final Fantasy VII, as far as we know. Neither one of those could get delayed as well. But both of those, as far as we know, are still on track for that kind of first quarter 2020. And it honestly doesn't hurt my feelings that we're going to have a little bit more space there.
Can we talk about new games and hardware for a second?
Uh-huh.
And I'm talking about existing hardware that we've got. I meant to mention this with the Outer Worlds, and it fits in well with Diablo 4 as well. I was curious about my frame rate with the Outer Worlds because, you know, we're not running on 4K monitors. We're not doing any of that. And there's a lot going on with this. It's in the Unreal Engine. There's a lot of stuff going on. And so I put a frame rate counter on my game this afternoon. And it, I don't know about your machine, I don't know how you feel about the way it looks and plays, but we both have 1080s, and it doesn't break 60 frames a second unless you're loading. So my question with Diablo 4 was, it doesn't look like this is going to be a system upgrade thing. I think the only game out there that we've seen so far is a system upgrade game is Cyberpunk and, to a lesser extent, Control. So, on these titles, what I'm getting around to is, especially on the PC side, do you think it's going to be to that point before we have to upgrade? Or do you think we have something to worry about? Because I was worried about what the Outer Worlds was going to do to my system, and am pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, it's been flawless for me. I've been really impressed. For, again, as much as I love the aesthetic of it, I've had zero performance.
I'm running on Ultra. I don't know where you're at, but yeah, I'm on Ultra.
And I'm multitasking while I'm playing it. Like, several games, I can't do that. But I've got, you know, Chrome and tons of tabs running in the background. And for some games, that will just, like, completely bog down my system. But for this, it hasn't hitched basically at all. I've been really impressed a few times just here and there where I've, you know, like I've left it running for a long time and just come pick it up and it's not ready. But that's all on me. That's nothing on them. And then even then, it's been pretty flawless. And so all that to say, I'm not feeling any pressure at this point. I candidly will probably play Cyberpunk on console. And so I don't feel any pressure there. But that's the one I could really see being the need an upgrade game. I don't think Diablo's going to be, but it's a long ways out, and so there's going to be need an upgrade games before Diablo gets here, more than likely. And so, yeah, but Cyberpunk's the only one I've really got on my radar that I think is that a potential necessity.
I just think it's interesting because I thought, just looking at it, I thought that it was pushing my The Outer Worlds was pushing my system a little bit because, and this is why I want to upgrade the monitor, because it's obvious I need a monitor upgrade.
I mean,
it looks good. It's flawless, but we both need monitor upgrades.
Yes.
And this is a game, especially where it's noticeable that we need monitor upgrades. And so I think that's really interesting. So back to the discussion we're just having, I'm okay with all of these games being pushed back. Like, I don't care. We've got enough to play at this point.
Absolutely. 100%. So we'll talk about a few more of those here in a bit. But before that, a couple other little business notes about some game stuff. The Switch first. The Switch is on track to surpass the total sales of the Super Nintendo within the next quarter, which is pretty amazing. Like, again, the Switch is just a beast and has obviously been selling gangbusters. But to up the ante a little bit here, the PlayStation 4 is now officially the second best-selling console of all time. Officially has surpassed the original PlayStation. also just kind of mind-boggling. And I think more than anything, that it shocks me in a way in that there's so much console competition and there's also so much gaming competition that you can game on your phone, you can game on other devices or whatever. And we had talked about this potentially being the last generation of consoles. And now we're talking about the PlayStation 4 being the second best-selling console of all time. Maybe consoles are going to stick around for a little bit longer. It's apparently still an okay platform to play games on.
I feel like they are because, I mean, the games, the service, and the streaming, all that's great, but it's all reliant on the internet, which even for the best of us is flaky. I mean, you got fiber, and your fiber is still occasionally flaky.
Sure.
So, the problem when you are pushing games as service is you're real good until you have a day where a million people can't play, and then you're hosed. Like, then you got a lot of really mad people.
Sure.
And so I think with these numbers combined with that, yeah, I think we're gonna see hardware for a while yet. Yeah.
That doesn't mean the hardware isn't going to be in support of games as service. I think that's where we'll be. But yes, I think hardware is going to remain a cornerstone of gaming for a while longer. Sony does too, because Sony went ahead and in Japan trademarked PS6, PS7, PS8, PS9, and PS10, just to make sure. So they've got trademarks for a while into the future. So God bless them for that. On a different note, kind of business side of things, EA games are coming back to Steam. EA and Valve have reached an agreement to bring EA games back on Steam with the Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order being the first of those. It'll be launched on Steam on November 15th, which is pretty great. I really dig that. That's a good thing for everybody, right?
That's great for everybody. Thank you, Electronic Arts. I literally just re-upped my Origin Access. And I'm now excited about the fact that I can buy EA games on Steam and don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And back to what we were talking about with the Outer Worlds, it's a lot easier to mod something like The Sims on Steam than it is anywhere else.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. Steam is still the platform. Like, I understand what Epic Games is trying to do, and them giving me free games every week is making me play games over there. I get it, but Steam is still the platform.
Yeah. Yeah, again, competition's good. I'm glad that the Epic Games Store exists for that purpose, but I agree. Steam is still my first place to go. Having EA games available there, not having to go directly through Origin. I still am curious if it's going to work like Ubi does, because you can buy Ubi games on Steam, but then they still use the Ubi launcher, which drives me nuts. I hate the Ubi launcher. Whatever, it's Uplay. I just find it miserable. And so even if I get a game on Steam, I still have to go through their system to do that. I'm curious to see if EA does that same thing with Origin. And so you buy the game on Steam and then it pushes you through Origin to play it, which I would not love.
No, but everybody's got to have their little piece of the pie. There's going back to this game as services thing for a second. That ain't going away. And we talked about on the last show about how TV is splitting again. And
yeah.
And I think maybe at least Electronic Arts has figured out, hey, we need our crap on every single platform.
Yes.
I'm hoping that TV and movies figure that out as well, because this whole idea of everything splitting is kind of stupid.
Yes, agreed, and excited, as you said there. That's the reverse hopefully happening a little bit in the game industry. Really quick, talk about games of service and talk about Star Wars with the announcement there. The Old Republic, the Star Wars MMO, has made almost $1 billion in revenue. God bless them. It's been out since 2011, has made almost $1 billion in revenue.
Okay. I'm going to say something that I normally don't say on this show. So get your tape recorder rolling. We were loud wrong about that.
Isn't that the truth?
You guys, God bless you for making that money. We were loud wrong about that. And the next time you do something that looks like it's stupid to us, I'm going to try real hard to keep my mouth shut. I probably won't, but I'm going to try real hard to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot.
Yeah, we did.
Did we were wrong.
And they made $1 billion and said, screw you guys.
Yeah.
So there's that.
And they were correct. So, again, good job. Good job, guys. We appreciate that. So, really quickly, I'll mention game releases here. Go by the show notes because, again, like we said, there's stuff that we missed. But I want to talk about one specifically. So let me mention other releases really quick, and then we'll talk about one that's releasing next week that we all know what it is. But we need to have a little bit of a conversation about. So other game releases may be worth your time. Outer Worlds, obviously. We talked about that one quite a bit. Call of Duty Modern Warfare is also a big deal. Launched the same day as Outer Worlds. Going to sell 1 billion more copies. Already set records for Call of Duty sales, which, whatever. But Outer Worlds is fantastic. Outer Worlds, by the way, has an 85 Metacritic score. Call of Duty has an 82. So it just makes my heart a little happy.
This is something that I've never seen with the Outer Worlds that I'm into. I'm sorry we keep going back to it. But the longer that it's out there and the more people that play it, the score keeps going up. And
yeah.
And Duff seems to think that I hate on the Outer Worlds comparative to New Vegas. And he sent me a snapshot of a side-by-side of the New Vegas score versus the Outer Worlds score. And the Outer Worlds score is a point better than New Vegas. I don't hate the Outer Worlds in comparison to New Vegas, but in the interest of watching this thing, the more people that play it, it keeps going up. And that is interesting to me because that's not something you see very often.
Yeah. No, that's fair. Luigi's Mansion 3, just the other one I'll mention here really quick on the Switch, got an 86. So that 1 point better than the Outer Worlds there as well. That cracks me up. I didn't realize that was going to happen. But good time. So the other one I want to mention just really briefly isn't out yet. It's coming out next week, but the reviews are coming in, and thus it's already on Metacritic. Is Death Stranding. Death Stranding comes out next week. Obviously, a game we've been talking about for a long time. Well, people have played it now, and people have opinions about it, and you can read those opinions online. And there was a weird thing, and I saw Cabbage tweet about this too, so I know it wasn't just me that was feeling this. But on my Twitter, a couple times I saw the IGN review pop up, and IGN gave it, I think, a 68 or something like that, and said, you know, like, it's an interesting concept that's really clunky, and I've read a little bit of the IGN review, and it's just kind of that, like, it's a good game once it gets rolling, but it takes a long time to get rolling. But that was one review, and there's a bunch of other reviews that really like this game. Again, the Metacritic score is an 84, which is a solid, again, Outer Worlds is an 85, and we think Outer Worlds is pretty great. And there's a lot of people that really like Death Stranding, including a perfect score, and I'm just reading through these really quick. Or not a perfect, a 95, that starts with this sinister little blurb on Metacritic by saying, Death Stranding is not a, quote, fun game, but is an important and meaningful experience that earns its payoff of every bit of frustration and slog. So good selling for it there. But all that to say is that there was the one bad IGN review, and IGN is important in this industry, I get that, and a lot of other really pretty good critical reviews, and everything I've seen from a news standpoint has said Death Stranding getting mixed reviews. I just don't think that's true. Like, it just, like, it feels like it's getting pretty good reviews. It's not the best game ever, and maybe that's a problem with a game that we've talked about nonstop for 2+ years at this point. Like, maybe an 84 is a little bit of a disappointment of a game that gets that much airtime. But 84 is a solid Metascore at this point. Again, for a game that's not out yet. And so, like, we'll see what people actually think about it. It just seems really unfair to say critically it's getting mixed reviews. Like, if it's a 60 or a 70 on Metacritic, yeah, it's getting mixed reviews. If it's an 84, it's not really getting mixed reviews. Sorry, a little soapbox there, but wanted to bring that up.
Okay, so a couple of things on that. We have talked about for a while, and by a while, I mean almost a decade, that Kojima is a weird dude.
Weird dude.
And he is very off-putting to a lot of people. There's a lot of people out there that don't like Metal Gear at all. Like, not even a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're two of the guys that are like, Metal Gear, awesome. We don't care how weird it gets. We'll play them all.
Yes.
As long as that guy's making them, we'll play it. Right? So I'm not surprised at this. Because he's not a lot of people's cup of tea. What worries me about this title is that word that you mentioned in that review there that is sticking in my brain now. And that word is slog.
Yes.
Okay, I don't have time to slog.
Yes.
You don't have time to slog.
Yes.
You got less time to slog. That's one thing I can say about the Outer Worlds is I've got 10 hours into the Outer Worlds and I'm just off the first planet. At no point in that 10 hours did I feel like I was slogging through it.
Yeah.
And if that's what Death Stranding feels like, I don't know how far you and I are gonna get. Like, we may not get to the real awesome part of Death Stranding just because we don't have it.
Yeah, and that's totally fair, and that very well could be true. To play just a little bit of a counterpoint, there are some slogs I think are worth the slog. You know, if that makes sense, that it can be both. Clumsy and difficult to push through, and yet at the same time be an experience. So just reading another one of these reviews here, the last line of this one, again, these are things that, like, I don't know if I want to hear this about a game or not, but it says that not everyone will adore this game, but I guarantee no one will ever be able to forget it either. That's got me intrigued, you know? like that's, the more I read reviews like that of, I can't say that it's fun, but it's important and it's meaningful and it's whatever. Like, just I kind of have to play it. And honestly, like, reading the reviews at this point is the thing that's been most compelling to me to play this game, because up until this point, we've talked about this a lot on the show, just haven't known. I still don't know, and I don't know that we're going to enjoy it at all. But there's no doubt in my mind now that we have to play it.
Right.
Like, we have to play it. Like, again, you may be onto something that we don't get that far into it because it's a slog and we can't get there. Or maybe it's a game that we're, like, slogging through that we're like, man, I want to put it down, but I can't put it down. I just got to, you know, like, this is hard. This is clumsy. I kind of hate it, but I also kind of love it. And that would be, like, the perfect encapsulation of a Kojima game.
So, a couple of things on that. We are very loud about, I am very loud about the fact that we need more Patreon guys, and the Patreon guys need to give us all their money because I want to do this full time. We now have two games, one in the Outer Worlds and the second in Death Stranding, which I've already put way more time in the Outer world than the first week than I should have. The fact that I look on my save file and I'm off the first planet. I'm out of Edgewater. And I got 10 hours. Like, I know I'm crippled, but that's slow. Yeah. Like, you read the reviews, and this is supposed to be a 35-hour game or so. Yeah, I ain't getting through it in 35 hours, and I don't think you are either. And that's kind of the same way with Death Stranding. These are two games that are looking at both of us going, okay, you got to play, but we're going to own your time.
Yes.
And I don't know what that says for everything out there, because we have to play these two titles.
Yeah.
And we have very, very limited time. So what do we give up in order to do that? We're going to do it. But it makes me think again for another week. We got to get to the point where we can do this show full time, because these games, games like this are a job. Like, we can do this full time, all day, every day, and not run out of stuff. And Death Stranding is another one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, I just have to mention this because I didn't even see this when I was looking through the Metacritic thing. But it breaks down positive, mixed, and negative scores. 62 positive scores, 11 mixed, 1 negative. Again, that's a pretty overwhelmingly positive response to this game from critics. Maybe the reviews, if you actually read them, lead you to think a little bit differently. That's perfectly fine. But people are giving it pretty good scores. And so, yeah, we'll play it. We'll see what happens there. So go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com, because there's, again, several things we had to skip.
Yeah, we had to skip a lot of stuff. We also skipped the fact that we didn't say thank you to the Patreon guys.
Oh, good call.
So we need to do that.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. So let me get some names here really quick. I should be able to do it from memory at this point. Cabbage, Jose, Nark, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. I have my browser slightly wider, and it screwed up the spacing. So apologies for stumbling all over that. Hopefully I got everybody in there. If you want to be a part of that clumsy little list there, go by gamingcensored.com and click that become a patron link there. Still a little bit of Zelda content up there. Spider commented over there mocking our inability to figure out the Shy Guy room, which is completely 100% fair. We will be playing more Zelda soon. It's another game we need to play. It's going to take us a while to get through, but yeah, go by Patreon. Good content there. More content coming.
There's more content coming, I guarantee it, because the holidays are coming, and I have been making funds available. Like, I've been putting money in our little Gaming Uncensored bank account.
Yes,
because I'm basically getting to the point where I'm going to pay Tommy to come down here for like 3 or 4 days and just play games. Like, he doesn't realize that that's what's happening, but I'm putting money into the Gaming Uncensored bank account so his wife can't look at me and go, "You're insane." I'm just going to go, "Here's this money." And he's going to come and we're going to play games, and my internet doesn't suck. So we're going to stream all of it.
Yeah.
There you go. And so, yeah, we got Thanksgiving. We got Christmas. We got stuff in between. It's going to happen. You guys are going to hear from us. I swear. I can't believe I'm putting money in the show, but I am, and that's why.
It's a beautiful
thing. All that being said, we got to get out of here because he got a little girl over there who I know is waiting to see her daddy.
She is.
So,
yeah.
We gotta get this
got her
done.
All messed up, so I got to see if she's still making it.
Boy, I bet it did too. I feel bad for her. I was great this morning. I'm like, this is awesome. But she's probably not feeling that same way.
Yeah.
So all of that being said, y'all know where all the cool stuff is. Y'all know about the Facebook page. Y'all know about Twitter. Twitter is insane right now. Lots of crazy things happening on Twitter, not just ours, everywhere. I think that should be the handle for Twitter. Which
fair.
Twitter is where the drama lives.
Yes.
So definitely go by and check that out. That's awesome. Check out the Patreon page because there will be more stuff over there. We've got the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
Leave us a message and we will play it. We don't know when, but we will play it. So definitely do that. For right now, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. Is there anything else, sir?
Think we're good.
For one more week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.